Good afternoon.
Hi, thank you.
So I'm here to talk to you about how in these times of shrinking state budgets and kind of lack of funding for our extension horticulture programs, we've been able to fund programs with food stamp education money. It's been a really, really interesting thing. I'm going to come back to this one. Do any of you work in SNAP education? Do you partner, anybody partner with SNAP? So there's a couple folks. You know, traditionally, at the University of Arizona, in our cooperative extension system, it's the family consumer health sciences extension people that have done all the nutrition education. It's always been direct education, you know, a whole army of nutrition educators going out and, you know, working with individuals and teaching them how to make smart choices with their food stamp dollars. Basically, that's the SNAP education. And, you know, extension, at least in our state, has been pretty siloed. I don't know if you all experienced that, too. You know, we've got our family consumer health sciences folks that do their thing, and then our 4-H people and our agricultural and natural resources. And this kind of changing approach that the SNAP program is using has really helped to bust some of these silos and really encourage us to work together. You know, I'm a county horticulture agent, but I'm kind of shifting to the term agroecology because, you know, horticulture, I think of mostly plants, you know, and I think we do so much more than that. It's about, you know, people's interactions with plants and, you know, plants' interactions with their environment, and in our desert environment, it's really challenging. So this has been a really neat partnership for us to bring this nutrition education and gardening and issues around food access together. Arizona, I guess we're a little unique in how the funding works. You know, the SNAP, you know, food stamp program is it's administered through the Farm Bill. You know, it's decided through the Farm Bill, USDA. For us, sends that money to our Arizona Department of Economic Security, which then passes it through to our Department of Health Services Nutrition Network. And now we are required to compete for the funding in Arizona. And so right now, you know, Extension, University of Arizona Cooperative Extension does the bulk of the nutrition education. But also 6 of our 15 county health departments also receive funds, and 1 school district in Tucson. And so it's funny, in Maricopa County, where I am, there's 4 million people in the county. You know, it's just we've sort of divided up the county in these approved sites. So when somebody approaches us and asks for help, we have to figure out if they're one of our sites or one of the county sites. It's really been very, very interesting. I think we owe a debt of gratitude to First Lady Michelle Obama in making gardening cool and helping to raise the understanding, the awareness that gardening is good for you. And if you've ever worked with children in a garden, you know that, you know, kids that don't like vegetables will eat radishes if they grow them themselves. I mean, even the hottest Spanish radish, you know, some of them come out of that ground hot. They'll eat it if they grew it. And so kids will gobble up, you know, cherry tomatoes and carrots and things if they grew it. And I kind of like how it says it leads to economical production. Yeah, sometimes it leads to economical production. I think some of our master gardeners spend quite a bit more on their tomatoes than if they just bought them at the grocery store. But we know if done properly, certain crops can certainly save people a lot of money on their grocery bill. Another aspect that a lot of folks don't know is that SNAP participants can use their benefits to buy seeds and transplants. A lot of our nursery folks don't know it, and a lot of the SNAP folks don't really understand it. So one of our goals is to increase participation among nurseries to accept it. You know, Walmart right now is kind of the place where people can, you know, if they have access to a Walmart, you know, and this is another one of the issues that I think all of us that are face, you know, working with people that live in food deserts, that not everybody has access to a Walmart. So we're trying to change this up a little bit. So the SNAP education money that comes from the USDA, it's pretty wonderful, to be honest. Is anybody else doing this? Using the SNAP ed benefits? I mean, this is really something, if you're an extension, the potential is really great. So, you know, we can buy seeds and transplants, and we basically set up school gardens with a kit. You know, they get their spring seed collection and their summer seed collection, you know, for cool and warm season crops. We give them a set of hand tools. We give them We have a book called Successful School Gardening, a bunch of publications, and really wonderful is that we fund staff positions. We've got 2 full-time program coordinators right now working with this program, and we're just hiring a third. That's just increased our capacity to reach people, to support school gardens and community gardens and local food initiatives like we've never been able to in the past. We can't buy equipment or land with it, but it's been pretty good. And we're encouraged to develop these partnerships, collaborative efforts. And we've really, I think, increased our the visibility of Extension in the community. You know, we've always worried that we're the best kept secret, which is dangerous for Extension. And so we're interacting with a lot more people now that understand what we do and they appreciate what we do. We spend a lot of time settling up to zoning, you know, city zoning people, trying to get them to loosen up some of the rules around community gardening and urban agriculture. And I notice here in Orlando there's been some issues around people being able to garden their front yards and things. So that's another thing that we've had the opportunity to do. So our first program coordinator position was made a school and community gardening position. We knew when we started thinking about the position that we wanted somebody who was a native Spanish speaker, because the vast majority of the kids that attend Title I schools speak Spanish, you know, and we wanted someone who could work with the parents, you know, and families would be comfortable working with this person. And we wanted somebody with a community background in community organization. And so we hit the jackpot with Marina Acosta. She had just graduated with a degree in sustainability. She'd done a lot of community organizing in the past. Kids adore her. I mean, she's like the Pied Piper. You know, kids just follow her everywhere. She hit the ground running. She's really committed to changing the world. You know, I think we're really lucky in Extension that we get people that are not necessarily financially motivated, but, you know, care about the world. And so we've found this one. Since she started, she's consulted with 37 schools and communities. She's helped start 20 gardens. She and another nutrition educator, Maricela, they go out together and they do, you know, their show together, where Marina does the gardening part, Maricela does the education, the nutrition part. They've already reached 860 kids in less than a year and a half, and parents. Her work has been recognized by one of our City of Phoenix Council people. And her favorite school is this VH Lawson Elementary. You know, you find that motivated teacher who does it. You know, so she, this Miss Ellis, runs a restaurant, you know, with middle school kids. You know, I mean, these are young kids. They have this restaurant, and the teacher was really interested in growing some of their own produce, which helped us to involve our Department of Education, farm to school folks, you know, food safety things. And so the principal gave them a little back lot, kind of a wasteland, that they converted into a raised bed garden. So here's the work day, and we know that gardening is more than just, you know, growing food. It's about working together, and it's about math, and it's about physical activity, and I mean, there's just so much that goes into it. Work days like this really forge relationships between people. It's been a great thing. And another silo that it's helped to break is, you know, with 4-H. So we've cross-trained a bunch of our master gardeners as 4-H leaders. So got them, you know, through the training, got them fingerprinted and, you know, legal to work unsupervised around kids. And, you know, we're limited with this grant that Marina is only allowed to work with approved sites, right? So SNAP eligible sites that have already signed an MOU with the university and things. And so we get inquiries for school and community gardens from communities that aren't necessarily, you know, serving a SNAP community. And so by cross-training our master gardeners in this, we've set up a matchmaker site. So we get an inquiry from a school or a community, and then we try to find a master gardener who's been trained that can be assigned to them and can be their point of contact. It's really been a lot of fun. And so our Arizona Nutrition Network, who distributes the SNAP education funds, in this last year has really been interested in shifting away from, you know, this sort of bottom circle of teaching, you know, individuals about nutrition, which they still do, that's still a lot of it, but more toward a public health approach and trying to see how we can affect public policy around nutrition and hunger. And so we got the go-ahead to hire the second program coordinator. It's a local food access, and this is something that's never, I mean, you know, we've never had before. You know, what does that even mean, and what does that involve? And so it's not like she's doing, you know, nutrition education or garden education, but working kind of on a different level to try to identify needs So, the issue with food deserts and people having a hard time having access to food. So, we've kind of got four approaches that we've taken for this last year. And that should have been 2013. I mean, we hired her last October. We didn't hire her in the future. And we do a lot in extension, but we don't really manipulate time yet. We haven't been asked to anyway. So one of our approaches is to increase the number of producers. You know, there's a lot of talk about local food, you know, the local food movement, but if there's nobody growing it, it's all just talk. And there's a lot of challenges, you know, especially in the really extreme environment that we're in. You know, 114, 115 degrees last week. And we've got irrigation issues. There's a number of problems associated with growing. And so we started a Master Farmer program. We had our first session last year, and of the folks that graduated, five of them are committed to selling, to getting EBT machines and selling at farmers markets and community exchange tables in food deserts, which is really, you know, the rest of them want to sell to high-end you know, to high-end restaurants and things like that. But so we're trying to encourage people to learn how to serve this population. You know, we know that vegetable crops aren't subsidized, right, but people's choices are subsidized, and so try to get them to a point where they can accept these benefits, so they don't have to necessarily sell to the high end. And we know this is, I think we're all probably dealing with something like this. We've also done some trainings working with people that are already working in communities, community-based food efforts, trying to identify them, figure out what they need, and so they need help with fundraising, you know, how to ask for money, which is hard, you know, and navigating regulations, you know, all the different city ordinances and, you know, county, you know, all the different rules. So trying to help build the capacity of people that are already out there doing the good work in the community. And trying to link the producers with low-income folks. We have a half-acre demonstration farm in Central Phoenix. It's right off our light rail system. And we demonstrate some, like, organic techniques and things out there, some kind of best practices for small growers. And then we have a free U-Pick day, which is kind of neat, because people get off, to have kids get off the train and, you know, the rail system and come with their bag, and so we weigh everything, but it's agricultural literacy, you know, and also getting people to try things. It's really been a lot of fun. And then also we are really have been working for the past 6 months on trying to form a food policy coalition in Maricopa County. It's this giant county without any real comprehensive system to deal with food access as a public health issue, is a public health problem, and we're getting there, trying to find stakeholders, you know, and bring them to the table. It's really been a lot of fun. Future plans, this is three of, every time we do something, we have like 10 more things we want to do. So I'm thankful for the energy and exuberance of the the people I work with, because they make stuff happen, but we have a lot of future plans. And so here's all of our contact information for myself and then the FCSH agent that I work with, and then our two program coordinators. So I guess we have about a minute 47 left for questions. Anybody with a question, or anybody thinking about trying this? I mean, yeah, Dennis?
Is it only in Maricopa County?
That we're doing this particular thing? Well, actually, in Pinal County, so Pinal County is it's a more rural county in central Arizona, in between where Dennis is and I am. Yeah, now they have a school and community garden coordinator there too. But this is something, this is the whole USDA's approach, you know, shift in their approach. And so the money's there, and I guess it's finding the person who's doing this type of education in your region and figuring out, you know, how to fit in for the next funding cycle. Yes, Sam?
How big is the urban research farm?
Half acre. And that's more than we can manage organically with the weeds.
How far is that from you?
It's about 8 miles. Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Can you tell me more about the Master Farmer training and how that's designed?
So last year we did this, a 13-week program. We half of it, Sam taught some of it for us, the cover crops. A lot of it is focused on business, so budgeting, marketing, record keeping, risk management, food safety plans. And then we did a production piece. So we did soils and integrated pest management. And this time we're just doing the business aspect of it. And then we're going to offer, because we had ranchers that didn't care. You know, people that wanted to grow goats and chickens, they didn't care about crop production. So we're going to change it this time to be just mostly business, and then have different modules for different types of producers. But they had to present a business plan and complete a 20-hour internship to get the title Master Farmer. And that was funded, It was funded cooperation with Colorado State University. They had the Beginning Farmer Rancher Development Grant from the 2011 cycle. I think it was 2010.
Okay, thank you, Kelly.
Thank you.